Trash Mix Podcast. This is our slasher episode part two, and these are pretty good ones, actually. Both of them are really good in their own way.
Yeah, these are two. This is a good double. Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. I have the tapes with me right now. We got Pesadilla Fatal from 1991. We got Masacre en el Bosque from 1996. 90 stuff here. And yeah, I mean, they're both pretty good, but of course, we're going to ask the same question. Are they slashers or not? And, well, Joey, what did you think of Episode 2? Do you think this is a slasher or not? Let's just get that out of the way so that way we can get to the movie.
I'm going to give this... God damn it. I don't know.
You know, it's funny because some people were saying no, like on Letterboxd and IMDb.
I don't think there's enough kills in this.
Yeah,
one.
A couple people said it was more of a giallo, and I was like, you know,
oh my. Well, actually,
there was a and I was like, it's kind of like a giallo, Jason. So we're just gonna say no, it's not a slasher. Let's just get that out of the way.
Yeah, I don't think it. I don't think it follows a formula of a slasher for one and two. I don't think there's enough kills. But I mean, it's definitely a horror movie.
Yeah, it's definitely
inspired by, of course, Nightmare on Elm Street. Yeah, exactly. You could say based off of the name and what the killer wears. But, I don't know. I'm team no slasher.
Yeah. Right. So let me break it down for everybody. So this is basically about a movie about a blind girl. She's really pretty, very young. Her name's Marisol. She's played by Tatiana. And if you don't know who Tatiana
is,
she's the one from Vacations of Terror Part 2. She's the singer in that one, the actress. And yeah, she starts here as a blind girl. Like, she's straight up blind. And, you know, she's sculpting on the clay. You know, she's very lonely. She lives with her parents. And then on Valentine's Day, of all days, which I thought was so funny, on Valentine's Day night after they leave a party, and then the dad, like, got into an argument in a business meeting that he was there for, he ends up getting killed by a unseen killer that uses finger knife gloves that look resembling like Freddy gloves, you know. He ends up getting slashed. And the only witness is, you know, Marisol. But of course she can't see, so she didn't see what happened, obviously. But she heard, you know, what happened and so forth, you know.
¿Quién está en la lista?
Chávez, mi comandante.
¿Hay algo? Cuando tenga los resultados, avíseme, por favor. De acuerdo. Buenas noches, señora.
Buenas noches.
Yo sé que es todo muy molesto para ustedes, pero podría decirme qué es lo que pasa.
Fue mi culpa, fue mi culpa.
No, mi amor, no digas eso, mi vida, no digas eso.
¿Por qué dice eso la señorita?
Es que si yo no estuviera ciega, le hubiera salvado la vida. Yo tuve al asesino enfrente de mí.
Cálmese, señorita. ¿Me podría decir qué fue lo que pasó?
¡Yo lo maté! ¡Yo lo maté!
No, no digas eso, hija. No digas eso. Calma. Tranquila, tranquila. Mire, teniente, otro día le pregunta. Ahorita no, por favor, ¿eh?
Está bien. Buenas noches.
Ya, mi vida. Ya, ya. Vamos.
And then, you know, after that, you know, they're trying to figure out, hey, and then who did this? Who killed her father? So these two cops, they come in, they try to uncover, like, you know, what did she hear, you know. One of them's like a psychologist, so he's trying to figure out what she heard. And of course, along the way, people that work with her dad, they get killed by this unseen killer with the finger knives. Which, I don't know, did you notice it looked like a baseball glove, maybe? Or what did you think it was? Because it looked like a baseball glove that they just, like, messed with it.
Yeah, it looked a little weird, for
something,
sure.
Something
yeah,
weird,
yeah.
Like a baseball glove, like it's really thick and then the knives are just there. So, there's people that are around, like, you know, that knew the dad. They're getting killed. People that he worked with or he was probably having an affair with, even. Like, there's one girl that he was having an affair with that gets killed. And, of course, along the way, you know, Marisol's trying to figure out, you know, what's going on because, you know, she keeps hearing about the deaths. And then she feels somebody watching her, you know, that's there in the room. They start messing with her. And that's pretty much the whole movie. You know, it's just her in the house, mainly. And then she's just getting, like, terrorized by this unseen killer. And that's pretty much it, you know. It's pretty solid, and it doesn't follow a slasher formula. It does follow more of a giallo adjacent, if anything, because the killer's wearing the dark trench coat, and then you only see the weapon, which is the finger knife gloves. that's pretty much it. And it's solid. I thought it was pretty good, you know. And then from Rene Cardon III, by the way, you know, he's the director of this movie, so he knew what he was making.
Yeah, there's a lot of, I know you mentioned, you know, the second cop, he's a psychologist, but his character is actually kind of funny because he falls in love with, love with Marisol, and he's like, his whole object is trying to gain her love.
Yeah, as well, that's what's as, funny, you know. Yeah, because he was just there sent to help the cop, and he's like, the cop's like, oh, hey, you know, can you help me with this, you know, with this case going? And he's like, yeah, of course.
He then sees her and instantly falls in love, love at first sight.
¿Qué te pareció?
Bellísima.
No, no estoy hablando de eso, por favor. Estoy hablando de una cosa muy seria y me sales con cosas de Don Juan. ¿Qué te pareció, güey? No, pero volviendo al asunto, ¿sabes? Encontré un sujeto que me parece que es clave en todo este caso.
¿Por qué?
Bueno, porque el día de la fiesta, la señora Magda escuchó una conversación, una discusión en el despacho de su marido. Quiso entrar y este sujeto no la dejó entrar. Después nos lo volvimos a encontrar en el velorio y ahí sucedieron cosas muy extrañas también.
Bueno, ¿y por qué no lo interrogas?
Ya lo hice, pero aparenta ser una blanca paloma.
Mira, lo único que puedo decirte es que este asesino al que te enfrentas es muy peligroso. Sobre todo porque se ve que es muy inteligente. Es un psicópata muy inteligente.
No te entiendo.
Mira, este asesino no es como cualquier otro. Tú mismo escuchaste la forma en que actuó. Antes de su crimen lo planeó. Lo gozó haciendo extraños ruidos para espantar a su víctima.
O sea, ¿qué me quieres decir? ¿Que es un asesino maniático que goza de matar por matar?
No necesariamente tiene que ser un maniático. Hay varios tipos de psicópatas.
A ver, explícame bien.
Sí, mira, es muy sencillo. Puede ser una gente normal que ha sufrido un trauma de pequeño. Como una bomba de tiempo lo guarda en su subconsciente hasta que explote y así le causa una ira contra el recuerdo que lo perturba. En él puede existir un sentimiento de culpa que de esa forma se venga contra la sociedad. Pero de verdad te digo que tienes que tener mucho cuidado con este individuo. Se ve que es muy peligroso e inteligente.
No esperemos que nosotros seamos más inteligentes que él.
And I don't know if you noticed, but did you notice it kind of gave off Lionel Richie Hello vibes?
Oh, yeah.
Hello.
Yeah, oh, yeah,
like,
definitely.
The music video, remember, like, you know how she's sculpting and then, like, the guy's, like, you know, from a distance. Like, it kind of reminded me.
He's, like, creeping in there.
That's how the relationship was. And then he would come in, remember, and he would bring her stuff. And it's like, why is this giving me Hello Richie vibes?
I can see it
so,
for
so
sure.
I think Rene Cardona was, like, watching Nightmare on Elm Street with his writers, and then they were like,
and listening to Lionel
and
Richie.
And then probably Lionel Richie started playing or something. And it's like, it was just so obvious. It's like, this is definitely Hello music video inspired and Nightmare on Elm Street with the finger gloves, that is. So it's a pretty funny sounding movie the way I'm describing it. So it's pretty unusual, but it is good. Like I said, it's not silly or anything.
This is a very serious 90s movie for
and
sure.
It's super 90s. Yeah. Yeah, this is like probably around, yeah. So this was filmed probably like after the success of Vacation of Terror 2.
I would assume, like you said, this is fresh off of Vacation 2. Because they're shot, or they were at least released the same year, so yeah, you would assume.
And then this was produced by the Galindos, you know, the heirs, you know, yeah, Eduardo, Santiago, and Pedro III. So they were involved with this movie with Rene Cardona III. So you got your Cardona and Galindo team up right here. So I think that's probably why the movie's so solid as well.
Yeah, you have the Cardona and Galindo, like, mashup. Yeah, that's a winning formula
for sure.
Yeah,
that's a winning formula right there. So I thought that was pretty cool. And the original title to this movie was El Intruso, which I thought was a good title. I don't know why they re-released it as Pesadilla Fatal, but that was the original title when it first came out, El Intruso.
I think that title is more descriptive of what the movie is, I would
say.
Yeah,
because it's an intruder. Literally.
Yeah, the killer basically keeps intruding into the house that Marisol lives at with her mom and the maid. And I there's aspects of this that I think are really fucking cool. Like, you know, obviously she's blind, so she can't see. And so she has this routine. She knows everything in the house, right? You know, nothing can be moved. And they made it very clear. Like, the mom tells the maid, don't move a fucking thing in this house. And the killer keeps coming into the house, and it's like, you know, he'll move a chair,
yeah,
you know,
or
like
a table, and then
something like, yeah,
yeah,
she's
so
bumping into it and
there,
falling.
Yeah.
And of course, you know, they're blaming the maid, but the maid's like, I didn't do anything with him.
Señorita, señorita, pero por qué se cayó? Lupe, ¿por qué moviste los muebles del lugar?
No, señorita, yo no moví nada, de veras.
Ay, pues entonces, ¿quién va a ser, Lupe? Sabes que se tiene prohibido que se muevan los muebles.
Sí, señorita. Mire, pero vamos a levantarlo, ¿sí? Sí. Mire, vamos a levantar ya todo esto para que no se vuelva a caer, ¿eh? Venga, señorita. ¿Cómo cree que yo le voy a hacer eso? Sí, yo tengo tanto tiempo trabajando aquí y sé que no se le debe mover nada para que no se golpee, señorita. Mire, vamos a levantar todo esto para que no se vuelva a caer, ¿eh? Todo su lugar.
Bueno, sí. Lupe, ya no te preocupes.
Señorita, ¿se le ofrece algo?
No, gracias, Nana.
Bueno,
gracias.
But it's just I don't know. I think that whole aspect is kind of cool because it's like a cat and mouse. Like the killer can very easily kill Marisol at any time, but it's basically just playing with her the whole time.
Yeah, like, the whole time the killer's just playing with her, and then you don't know what's going on. You're like, why is she doing that? You know, why is this killer, you know, just fucking with her? And then later you find out why. You know, it starts to unravel little by little. And you're like, oh shit, I didn't see that coming, actually. It caught me by surprise the first time I saw it.
Yeah, I don't, it's funny. When I first watched this movie, it was like, I think it was like a year or two ago. And same thing. I saw the end. I was like, oh shit, okay, yeah, that's kind of cool.
It was cool. Yeah, the revelation and everything. We're not going to spoil it. I want you guys to see it. But it was cool. I was like, oh shit, this is great. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of, to me, the funny part was how they discovered. Or how they started piecing together who the killer was. So you don't want to spoil it, right? So I can.
No.
I'll be spoiler free here. So obviously the girl's blind, right? And so the cop is trying to figure out, like, how the fuck am I going to figure out, you know, what this person's seeing if she's blind? So she starts digging into like family history and stuff, and realizes she had an accident when she was a kid as a gymnast. Mm-hmm. That left her blind, but it turns out, you know. She was never given access to a procedure
that would have cured
her ailment and, you know, been able to let her, you know, gain her vision back. And so that was like the main key as to, okay, how are they going to start developing their investigation to figure out who's killing them?
Bueno, sí. Señorita, buenas tardes. Me podría comunicar con el doctor Palacios. Sí. Doctor, ¿qué tal? ¿Cómo está usted? No, aquí nada más quería hacer una pregunta. ¿Qué tan difícil es operar un fibroma que está oprimiendo el nervio óptico? Ah, sí. Sí, ya me lo tengo. Gracias. Gracias.
And then there's also a flashback scene with the killer, remember?
Yeah,
I love that scene because, you know, you see the killer like going into like a secret lair or room or something, puts on a record. And it sits on the chair, and then the killer's just tapping the finger knives on, you know, on their leg, and you're just like,
just grooving.
Yeah, and then like you see the flashback, and it's like a flashback of a child witnessing, you know, their mother getting killed. Well, she kills herself, actually. The mother kills herself.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. And then you kind of start thinking like, okay, this is maybe somebody close to the Marisol. Maybe not, or maybe it's just somebody that lives nearby there. I don't know. But yeah, it's like, it's cool. I just love the whole revelation or everything that just unraveling, you know, before your eyes. You're just like, oh wow, this is great.
This has the feel, and I don't, maybe I'm wrong, or I don't know. Maybe you could tell me if I'm being dumb here, but this has the feel of like a novella, like a Halloween special novella.
Yeah, honestly, that does give out that vibe. Like, this is definitely a movie that I think they have their eyes set on, like, women watching this, because it does have very like. You know, feminine vibes. You know, you got your little romance going.
Yeah.
You got your mother-daughter, you know, drama going on. Yeah, it's definitely a movie for the girls. You know, like if you put on this for your girls, you know, she'll probably be into it, if anything. Like a Mujer de Casos de la Vida Real vibe.
Yeah, too, yeah.
Which is weird to me to say, because I normally am against of saying stuff like that. Like, oh, this isn't a novella. This does feel like a novella for sure.
This is definitely well, that's a thing too. Like a lot of times people watch Mexican movies, like especially like for instance this movie, and they kind of conflate this with like a novella or wrongfully, you know, label. Call it a novella, you know, novella-esque or whatever.
Yeah, but this is a case where you could say it is.
Yeah, 1000%. This has the feel of a novella.
Yeah. I enjoyed it, and I think people will definitely enjoy it when they put it on or something. It used to be on TV a lot too back in the day. That's actually how I first saw it, on Channel 22. And then when Baja Films was still around, I immediately bought the DVD from Baja Films, and later on I got this crazy tape. under the title Pesadilla Fatal.
Well, the cover that I've seen is different than this one. This is that like was, an alternate.
Yeah,
cover,
the other right? one was different because it has the glove. Remember?
Yeah,
one has the glove and Tatiana. And I've seen that cover with the Intruso title and Pesadilla Fatal. One's the late '90s one with Tatiana, but from her her childhood. Her child up entertainment days.
Yeah, when you see her on the cover of this one, this is like the character that kids would know her from.
Yeah, the Mexican
kids. Like in her pop days.
And yeah, shit. They just slapped on one of those pictures and then they threw in the fucking Halloween knife logo on there.
Yeah, the font of this looks like Halloween H2O, yeah, and it has a hand
and has the hand
and the knife from Halloween.
Literally from Halloween. And it's funny because a long time ago when I posted this tape, like a picture of it on Twitter, I tagged Tatiana, and Tatiana was like, whoa, I actually have never seen that cover before. That's crazy. Like, she, like, replied in English, too. It was so funny. She's like, wow, I've never seen that cover before. I was like, oh, cool. She's like, she literally was like, what the fuck? It caught her attention, even.
Damn.
Like we said, it's not a slasher. It's more of, like I said, I would consider it more of a giallo adjacent, like a thriller, if anything.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, giallo adjacent gets thrown around a lot too, yeah. But this is more like thriller yeah. vibes with a couple kills, yeah, in it. It, I mean, because you think who gets killed in this? There's
the dad,
the girl that, you know, he was accused of cheating with,
yeah.
The bodyguard of his business associate. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like there's one more, if I recall. I just don't recall. But yeah, it wasn't barely much.
Yeah, there wasn't too many kills in this one.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of kills. But like I said, it's still entertaining, mysterious, you know, suspenseful enough. Yeah, you know, perfect for a lazy afternoon, you know, if you put it on TV, you're just like, oh, yeah, let me kick back and watch this fucking movie with Tatiana. So I think it's cool. I mean, I enjoyed it. Is it a slasher? Nah, not at all.
Yeah, I was conflicted while watching it, but I think as I'm sitting here having, you know, this talk right now, I'm inclined to give it the thumbs down and say this is not a slasher.
Yeah, I would say so too. Me, I think, like I said, I did understood what the other people were saying, giallo. I could see why they would consider it a giallo. Me, it's like, yeah, maybe, but then it's like, it'll fall more under thriller, maybe. Whatever you want to call it. Either of that, but it's definitely not a slasher for sure, though.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess this is why we're having the talk anyways, yeah, right? But it's like, I guess it depends what a slasher is to you.
Yeah,
right? Exactly. So, I mean,
if you think this one is, then I guess. But I don't see it as a slasher. Nah.
Yeah, it has a kind of like a cheesy. Cheesy? No, I'm not going to word cheesy. I'm not going to use the word cheesy. It has a telenovela vibe.
Telenovela mystery.
With a couple kills.
Yeah.
You know. The dad has a horrible death. He gets mauled by the fucking Freddy glove, you know, yeah, fucking all mangled up. But then there's like a death where like the girl, she gets shot. So she doesn't even get fucking killed with the glove. She gets shot.
The finger gloves holding the gun.
Yeah. It's like, why not just fucking stab this chick with the fucking, with the finger knives. But she fucking shoots.
And they don't waste time with the finger gloves. They actually do like the sound effect. Remember?
Oh, yeah.
That's fucking funny. But it's cool. Like I said, seek it out, or man, you never know. Maybe it'll be there on the show notes. Check it out.
Maybe not. If not, I know that there's various copies on eBay that I've seen, and it's on YouTube.
Yeah, you know, so it should be on there. It'll be on. Yeah, it's available. Now this next one is a slasher for sure, right?
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm like... Or what did you do? Yeah, you know what? I'm thumbs up on this one. This next one is a slasher. We're talking about Masacre en el Bosque from 1996. Stars none other than Miguel Ángel Rodríguez, who another absolute legend in Mexican movies.
Like 200 plus credits. He even said it himself in an interview one time.
That he's acted too much or what?
Yeah, he's like 200 plus movies.
and this one I think has more in common with Bosque, the one that we covered in episode 1.
Yeah, isn't it weird? They share similar, but there was not. So I was doing my homework earlier and I was like, there's no connection, but it still shares a similar vibe and story.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, similar story. Obviously, the characters, they're both, you know, park rangers.
Yeah, Miguel Ángel is the park ranger.
But yeah, I mean, let's get into it a little bit. It's this movie, you know, like I said, it stars Miguel Rodriguez. His character's name is David, park ranger. Again, there's the typical slasher tropes, right? You got your three couples. They're all, you know, they're all the same. You got the fucking jerk. You got the kid whose father or parents owned the cabin, who's, you know, has a troubled past. And then you got the jokester. You got, well, the only character that I thought was kind of weird in this was Santos, which, funny enough, he's not even credited in this movie. So I don't know what his real name is.
Oh, the one with
the old looking fool with the blue button up.
Oh, that's Gary Rivas.
There it is. Yeah. Okay, so he's not credited on the end credits at all.
Is it Gary Rivas? Yeah, it's Gary Rivas. Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's Gary Rivas.
And so,
which is funny because he's not that old, but he does look old.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he does look old.
Tu cumpleaños y esta noche lo vamos a festejar.
Yo traigo de todo: cerveza, vino, cigarros, palomitas, muéganos.
¿Qué saca, hijo? Móchate.
¿Mocha qué?
Que saque.
¿Que saque qué?
¿Qué no les dijiste que
bueno, saque? Bueno, ya, vámonos.
Vámonos. A mí se me hace que. Te de éxito.
But basically, this movie is, you know, these kids go into the forest. They stop at a cabin that's owned by the father of one of the guys. They're celebrating his birthday, and there's a killer on the loose. And that's pretty much all there is to say. Yeah. But where I think this one kind of stands out is the opening in this was
sick. That was crazy. Out of nowhere, too. You're just like, wait, what? Am I watching the same movie? Is this Masacre en el Bosque?
It literally starts off like a ripoff of Halloween, the original, where there's two people driving in a car. One of them is a doctor. And the other one happens to be a police commander, I guess you could say. Yeah. And they're just having a discussion about a psycho killer who's being released from the mental hospital into a prison, when the doctor doesn't agree with it. He thinks he should stay at a mental hospital where they'll have all the access to treat him. But, you know, naturally, you know, he escapes and he fucking kills both of these fools, slices their throat, blood spraying all over the wall, stabs the doctor to death.
Sigo pensando que el hombre está muy bien en el hospital psiquiátrico. Ahí está seguro. Yo no sé por qué quiere sacarlo, comandante Fierro.
Su paciente es un asesino, doctor Ravel. Un maldito asesino.
Pues sí, pero el hombre está muy enfermo. Recuerde usted que lo tengo en tratamiento.
Yo mismo ordené trasladarlo a una prisión de máxima seguridad. Ahí lo tendremos aislado de los demás reclusos.
Recuerde usted que yo no voy a poder atenderlo en una prisión. Es muy difícil.
Ese hombre debe muchas vidas. Su última víctima fue una niña de 13 años. Si en este país existiera la condena de muerte, estoy seguro que yo mismo se lo aplicaría.
And And the most random thing is, I think it was the doctor. Yeah, he's played by Victor Manuel Castro, El Güero.
Yeah, which is
a comedian actor and the director of like a bunch of Fichetta films. I was like, what the fuck is he doing? And why is he getting killed in this movie?
They're like, we need an old fool that can act real quick and can just fucking die.
Yeah, Güero Castro was probably like, I'll do it. It was just so funny seeing him. I'm like, what the fuck? And then that killer, that psycho, is played by Bernardo Palma, who's a very important stuntman in Mexican cinema today. Like, he's semi-retired, but he still kind of does stunts still, and he shows other people how to do stunts. So that was pretty cool to see him like in action like that, play a psycho killer.
Yeah, his character's name is Loco Manicomo, which I mean. That's pretty much exactly what he is. He's just
now,
a crazy.
Now the crazy thing is he the killer in the forest, or is there two killers?
Yeah, so that's what we're gonna break down, because you know, like any good slasher, there's a couple red herrings, right? So, you know, David's home life isn't so good. So his son wants to see him more. He's separated from his wife, who's kind of a, you know, she's pretty milfy. But yeah, so she's on the way into the forest to bring, you know, their son, you know, to go see their dad or whatever. She spots a car on the side of the road. You know, she's a little sketched by it, but she just kind of drives by and happens to mention it to him. Like, hey, I saw this car on the side of the road. Maybe you should go check it out. But in the meantime, you know, the three couples, they arrive. It's Andres and Tiffany, Manuel and Tanya, Santos and Jessica. And of course, this also has, what's his name? Andres Bonfiglio, who was in from the previous episode.
Yeah, which is funny. He was in Bosque de Marta too, which is so weird. That's why it's like, why is there such a weird connection here?
But yeah, so I thought that was funny. But anyways, yeah, so that's three couples. They arrive. And they get to this cabin, and immediately they all kind of separate. Like, one of them is tasked to go turn on the electricity. One of them is tasked to go get the grill started, and the other one is tasked to go get the leña, right, to get the firewood for the
Same thing like Bosque.
Exactly.
That's so weird.
but yeah, so. You know, naturally, of course, you know, they're there, they're drinking. They bring weed, you know. Andres has got the weed on him, you know. Yeah. So you already know he's gonna fucking die. But yeah, so then we get a flashback from Manuel, who is played by Julio. What's his name? Julio Bracho.
Yeah, Julio Bracho.
He's a very prolific actor.
He's a very prolific actor today. Yeah. This was his first movie. Keep in mind, so that was pretty cool. I was like, oh wow, he's starting a horror movie for his first, and now he's led on to this like big time acting in movies, novelas, commercials. And then his grandfather was a Golden Age director of the same name, Julio Bracho, which is interesting.
So, I mean, again, guys, there's ties everywhere.
So, nepotism maybe, but he still worked his way up. Like, he is actually a really good actor, though.
He definitely is a good. He's probably the best actor. Honest. but anyway, so his dad is played by Antonio Raxel. Who, you know, we are introduced to him, and he's not really what he seems. You know, he's obviously, they show him as like a successful businessman, but he's a piece of shit, because they go into a flashback and he rapes his 13-year-old daughter or stepdaughter.
Yeah, stepdaughter.
His wife comes in, you know, she's hysterical. He gaslights her and tells her to shut the fuck up. Like, you know, this, she's not my daughter, she's your daughter, you know, that type of shit. Separates the family. You know, gets his son, you know, his son's going to live with him. The wife, she's going to go, and, you know, the stepdaughter's going to go with her. And that's the story that, you know, Manuel, Julio Bracho's character, is told. But it turns out that the fucking daughter commits suicide. She jumps off a ravine, kills herself. And the mom gets taken away and gets locked up. This, you know, Julio Bracho's character is told that the mom goes to Europe. To a mental hospital, but we later learned that that's not true. But so, you know, red herring number one, right? The father, he's a piece of shit.
¿Qué estás haciendo, desgraciado?
Tú cállate la boca.
No me callo.
Tú no has visto nada. No sabes nada porque estás loca.
Maldito, es tu hija, Miguel, por favor, no es la hija.
No es mi hija, es tuya, de tu maldita aventura antes de casarme contigo. Sí. Ella es una aventurera igual que tú.
Es un maldito demonio, ¿qué te pasa, por favor?
No lo entenderás nunca, mujer. Ella es más mujer que tú.
¿Qué te pasa? Por favor, estás loco.
¿Sabes lo que voy a hacer contigo?
¡Degenerado!
Voy a meterte a un manicomio de por vida. No volverás a estorbarme de intervenir en mi vida. Porque
¡te vas
estás
a
loca.
Morir!
¡Estás loca!
¡Te vas a morir! ¡Maldito! ¡Maldito! ¡Maldito!
Then we're introduced to red herring number two, El Coyote. Actually, number three, because the first one would have been the psycho killer. He's the first red herring. But the third would be Coyote, who is like Manuel's dad's like right-hand man, who apparently has been, you know, the caretaker for this cabin for the last 15 years. Well, yeah. It's off limits. No one is allowed to go. He's the only one there. He's taking care of the property.
Yeah, he's a little sketch.
He's super sketch. And, you know, him and Manuel don't have a good relationship once the teens arrive to the cabin. You know, the first, you know, we get a look into Coyote and he has his weird cabin, shack, I should say, by the cabin.
Shack, yeah.
And he has like this fucking woman that's just tied up in there, like looking like the chick from The Ring, you know, hair all over the place.
Yeah,
and
you don't see their face. Yeah.
But he's obviously been keeping someone captive, you know. Basically torturing them, you know, turning them into a monster. And you know, we'll later find out who that is, but I don't want to spoil it, but we kind of have to. We can't really talk about the final 15 minutes without spoiling it. But
so basically there's two killers, we'll say that.
Yeah, there's two killers, right? So in the meantime, David, you know, goes back to this car, finds a bloody knife. Well, it turns out that's the car that was stolen from the scene of the crime in the beginning of the movie where the psycho killer killed the doctor and the cop. Somehow finds his way into the forest, parks his car, and now he's running loose at the cabin site where all these kids are at. I don't know. It's just fucking... Is it lazy? No, it's not lazy. It's the same formula as like a Friday the 13th. You set these kids up at a cabin.
Yeah.
You have a couple killers on the loose and there's really not much else to say, really.
Yeah. And then you find out at the end, you know, what's really going on or what's been going on all this time.
Before we learn that though, actually there's a couple this is why I'm thumbs up on this one being a slasher, right? So there's some the kills, I think there's only like seven or eight of them, but they're pretty fucking brutal.
Oh, yeah.
There's a scene where just a random grandfather and his granddaughter are getting ready to have dinner, and the grandfather is washing his face. Boom, catches like a metal rod through the chest and stomach, and, you know, he's fucking bleeding all over the place.
Yeah.
The granddaughter comes out like, what's happening? Gets her larynx ripped out of her throat. By the killer.
Yeah.
And David sees it, pulls up like, oh shit, tries to shoot, misses. That person runs away, right? So now you got another random person. This is supposedly the person who was trapped up in Coyote's little shack. Is now escaped, and that's who, you know, we think is doing the killings now, right? But then it turns out once David starts investigating a little bit more, he finds the psycho killer just kind of laying around in the cabin and kills that fool. So you think, all right, all is well, right? But no, the killings continue.
And they keep going.
They keep going, man. They keep going. And it turns out, I'm going to spoil it here, you guessed it, the killer is Manuel's mom.
¿Qué te pasa, cabrón?
She's been trapped up in Coyote's cabin. She has been tortured and turned into a monster. Not actually a monster, but, you know, she's just kind of sick in the head and, you know, all disheveled and dirty. And she tries to kill her son. But then once she realizes that it's her son, she kind of I don't know if you noticed, she backs off a little bit.
Yeah. Like
she's like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But David's like, yeah, I'm not playing no fucking game. Boom, blasts her and kills the mom in front of Manuel. The dad just shows up out of nowhere at the cabin, like, what's going on, everyone? He just missed all this crazy action.
Fucking Rexo.
I know, right? He just pumps and it. He's forced to kind of confront the truth and give up the goods and tell Manuel what actually happened. And he gets arrested for at the end of the movie.
Yeah. That's pretty much it. But yeah, the whole time it's like, wow, a lot of kills and brutal ones too.
Yeah, so I forgot to say too, like the guy Santos, he catches an axe to the face.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
Yeah, pretty brutal. His girl, Jessica, he's taking too long, so she comes out, sees the dead body, she gets fucking stabbed in the back with the same rod that killed the old grandpa dude. So I mean the kills in this are fucking cool.
Yeah,
I dig it a lot.
Yeah, this one was like a surprise for me. I was like, when I first got it, I was like, man, maybe it'll be all right. You know, I wasn't sure what to expect. But then I watched it and I was like, oh, wow, this was a surprise. This was super fucking good. It's like they actually knew what they were making here. They weren't bullshitting, you know. I was like, all right, I'm done with this. And this was directed by Eduardo Martinez, who's the son of the great Arturo Martinez. And if you don't know who Arturo Martino is, he's the legendary actor, director from the Golden Age. And then, funny enough, his brother, Arturo Martinez Jr. is in it. He's the one that plays the caretaker.
Mm-hmm.
And then the boy, the one that plays Miguel's son, that's Arturo III.
The third, yeah.
The grandson. Family affair.
Which is pretty typical for Mexican movies. Yeah. But even that, like, I don't know if there is an actual relationship, but the character Tanya, who's played by Claudia Bringas, and at the end credits, there is the caterer was named Bringas as well. So I don't know if that's like her tia or something, making the lunches and shit.
Yeah,
but.
Probably. It was a family affair here, but they did really well. It's like, damn, they knew what they were making here, and they did a fucking good job.
Yeah, I think this is another one where, you know, sure, there's a lot of filler space in it, but think that's forgiven by. Once we start getting the kills, because they, you know, again, the story plays out in the first like hour.
Yeah.
And then the next, 30 minutes is all deaths and kind of driving to the final, the final finale. But again, the kills are dope. So I think people would be more forgiving of this one than let's say Panico. Because the kills actually pay off, unlike in Panico where the kills don't really pay off. Yeah. This one they do.
Yeah, and has a much more interesting story too.
Yeah, I'm on board with this one for sure.
Yeah, this is a slasher. So yeah, seek it out if you can. I think there's a tape right now for sale too on eBay.
Oh shit!
So somebody better snatch it.
Well, not no more because I just bought it.
Oh shit!
But no, yeah. Actually, it's funny you bring up the tape because in the beginning of this, there's like a whole like a press release about
bootlegging
bootlegging tapes, and they go on to show you how to find out if the tape that you have for
is bootleg or not. Yeah, that was such a common thing in these video homes. Like they would do that. They'll make like a little promotion, like, oh hey, you know, don't support piracy. And if you're buying this movie, make sure this is the tape because we colored it this specific color and this has the metallic, you know, labels.
It's like if you lift up the label, you'll see a void sticker underneath.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the typical thing. So this one was pretty unique though because they're like at the office and then Bracho's right there talking about it. I thought that was cool.
Well, just like in the first episode, we have a couple people here to chime in on this one to give their thoughts on if this is a slasher or not, because I'm sure all the net bangers are ready to talk shit about, no, that is a slasher, bro. It is a slasher. But yeah, again, this is a nice and short episode. We want to keep them short this month just because we're talking 8 movies, you know, so we're trying to get these kicked out, you know, but, you know, if you have a copy or if you can find a copy and you watch it again, you know, hit us up. Let us know. Is it a slasher? Is it not a slasher? I don't know. You know, same as everything. Yes. Tell your tias about the show. You know, tune in.
And let us know what you think.
We have 2 more. You know, the secret is out. You know, this is episode 2 of the month. So we got 2 more to go.
Yeah. And just just to kind of spoil it, the last one's going to be cool. We're going to talk about a really rare one that hardly anyone's ever seen before.
Damn. So fools are really going to come after you. Hey, let me get a copy.
Yeah. But, yeah. I'm very happy we got to talk about these two today. And hopefully you guys enjoyed it. And stay tuned for the next one and the one after.
All right. Let us know. Slasher or not?
Pesadilla Fatal is not a slasher. I repeat, it is not a slasher because it is more of a mystery movie than it is a slasher. Nobody's being killed off one by one. Now, Masacre en el Bosque, on the other hand, with Miguel Angel Rodriguez, that is a slasher because it follows a lot of the slasher tropes. A group of supposedly young guys, motherfuckers look like they're middle-aged as hell. They go up the fucking forest, right? That's already a slasher thing right there. They're going up to a goddamn forest and they're being killed one by one. Although only two of them got killed, but other random ass motherfuckers be killed as well. For example, the fucking some random ass woman and her grandpa get killed. Like, who the fuck are they? I don't even know. But that's more of a slasher than Pesadilla Fatal. Pesadilla Fatal is more of a murder mystery, while Masacre en el Bosque is a fucking slasher all the way through.
Pesadilla Fatal gets away with being called a slasher, but I wouldn't say it is one. It's something more like Wait Until Dark or Eyes of a Stranger, except the killer here uses a knife glove like Freddy Krueger, but it looks more like a bear claw on a leather glove like in Trampa Infernal. And the theme follows more like a giallo, where it's about sexual purity or impurity, if you want to see it that way too. And Masacre en el Bosque is definitely a slasher. You got teens fumando mota, tomando cerveza. There's a part where he goes, I'm 23 and I don't give a shit what my dad says. Like, it has all that attitude of like angsty teens and like Friday the 13th. There's all sorts of bludgeonings, stabbings, chokings, drownings that feel more familiar to American slasher films in the States than something like Pesadilla, where it doesn't feel like anything that we're used to when we're talking about slashers. So I definitely had a much more enjoyable time watching the second film than the first film.
This is Jesse, Hack'em Figures, older brother of Cheddar Brown and the homie of Armando, the Trash Mex podcast, and they asked me to come on here and give my opinion on this movie here, which is Masacre en el Bosque. Is it a slasher? Sí o no? Is it a slasher? Yes or no? Well, first, let me give you what I think is a true slasher. And a true slasher usually has some sort of mass killer or someone escaping the mental hospital, just some crazy person. A lot of high kills, huge body count. Definitely, you got to have some gore in there. You got to have a memorable kill. Every slasher film you've seen always has one memorable kill. And I feel like every slasher should have that. And most importantly, a killer soundtrack. So, is this movie a slasher? Yes or no? I'm going to say, fuck yes, this is a slasher, you guys. I mean, just the opening scene alone, there's a crazy kill right off the bat, just like any other slasher. This one really reminds me of kind of like The Mutilator, kind of. Not as brutal, but this movie can get brutal. The movie's kind of, I would say, a little bit boring in the middle, but once you get towards the end, all hell breaks loose. And there's definitely memorable kills in here. There's the axe to the face The soundtrack is amazing. We got to get that on vinyl. And yeah, I don't know what else to say. You know, typical Mexican film when you have guys with guns, the macho dudes with like guns and stuff. But other than that, this is a slasher film. It's actually really good. I'm glad they invited me to watch this and give my opinion on it. So is it a slasher? I would say fuck yes. Go watch it if you can watch it. Find it on eBay or however you can, but go watch it. It's a great film. And when you do, make sure you put it in a letterbox and make sure you fucking tell all your friends because they got to see this movie.
This movie definitely counts as a slasher film. While it leans more heavily on gun action than the typical knife wielding, there are still some solid slashing moments, especially with that knockoff Freddy Krueger glove. It adds a real fun, almost campy twist to it. I actually really enjoyed watching this. It captures that classic mass killer vibe. It's not the most traditional slasher, but it still hits those familiar feels that makes this genre so entertaining.
Próximamente estrenaremos...
Fíjate bien.
Sí, señor.
Aquí junto a este árbol fue encontrado el cadáver. Lo reportaron a las 7 de la mañana unos muchachos que estaban haciendo ejercicios.
¿Y ya revisaron todo bien?
Sí, perfectamente. Pero no encontramos nada que valiera la pena.
Está raro, ni su bolso de mano, ni algún objeto personal.
No había bolso. Tal vez fue robado. Tal vez se lo llevó el asesino tratando de engañarnos. ¿Quién sabe?
¿Puedo ver las fotos?
Sí.
Gracias.
Quédate con ellas, confío en ti.
¿Algún sospechoso?
No. Según el velador, fue la última en salir del teatro.
Bueno, pero el forense declaró que a pesar de todo esto, pues no hubo ataque sexual, ¿verdad?
Bueno, no era virgen, pero no hay señales de que hubiera sido atacada.
¡Cálmate, Susana, hombre! ¿Cómo? ¡Cálmate! ¡Ahí va alguien!